Hey Podcast, today we've got Pastor Neil Smith bringing us a powerful message titled My Deliverer. But before we jump into it, check out some brand new music dropping soon.
What's up everybody, Joth here from Planet Shakers. Are you ready for some new music? Planet Shakers' brand new album, Over It All.
Available 6th of November.
Planet Shakers, Over It All.
Well, I want you to, in your house, right where you are right now, whether you're by yourself or with somebody else, or if you're watching on Zoom or wherever it might be, I want you to shout out, My Deliverer. Come on, I want you to shout it out, My Deliverer. That's it, I can't hear you. Come on, I want to hear you. My Deliverer. All over Melbourne, all over Singapore, all over Papua New Guinea, the world, I can hear you saying, My Deliverer. The reason I wanted you to say that is I've called my message that today, but I don't want it to be My Deliverer. I want it to be Your Deliverer, and I want you to understand that we need to be people that whatever goes on in our lives, that we would turn to Him as our Deliverer. He's always been faithful, He always will be. He always comes through for us. He's never early, never late, but He's there for us. He's my Deliverer. You know, and I want to read to you from a passage in 2 Chronicles this morning. Now, this passage came to me last Sunday, actually, when I was watching Pastor Russell speaking and didn't know, but then on Monday I got an email to say that I'd be preaching this morning. And I just knew that this was the passage that I would preach from. But what I didn't know is the whole context of this passage. And as I've done some reading this week, I want to bring it to you to help you to understand that He is a loving God. He is a faithful God. He is your deliverer. And it says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, one of my favorite passages, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, God is actively looking. His eyes are running throughout the earth, actively looking. What's He looking for? To show Himself strong or to strengthen or to add to who? On behalf of those whose hearts are loyal, or in other versions it says fully committed. I don't know about you, but I want God to come into my world, into my setting, and I want Him to bless my life. I want Him to come and touch me. I want Him to be there every moment, everything that I'm walking through. But first and foremost, I've got to acknowledge Him as my deliverer. And then as it says here, to attract His attention, I've got to stay loyal to Him. You know, the word loyalty is an interesting word, because when we understand that He's our loving Father, and He's actively looking to add to bless somebody, then we got to understand that loyalty is the thing that actually attracts His attention, or those whose hearts are fully committed. Loyalty in the English dictionary means perfect, true, fully committed, blameless. But in the context of this scripture, as I did some looking into it, the meaning in this passage is those who look to God alone for their deliverance. In the hour of the enemy's attack, demonstrating a loyal, perfect, and true heart towards Him, relying on Him and nobody else. I want you to understand today that we have a God who's looking to bless someone. Just because of the circumstances of what's been going on in the world in the last few months doesn't take away from the fact that my God is still active. My God is still looking. My God is still looking for someone who will come into His circumstance, and He wants to bless them. He wants to add to them. I want to be that person. God, pick me. So how do I position myself? How do I make sure that I'm in a place? Because in Psalm 91 and verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God in whom I can trust. Church, He's a trustworthy God. He's going to come through for you. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are, what's been taking place in your life. Oh, He's a trustworthy God, my deliverer. And if you stay loyal to Him, in turn, what Jesus is going to do for you is He goes and fights on your behalf. We don't need to fight. We got a big brother, a dad, a father in heaven who's going to look down upon us and he's going to fight on our behalf. Whatever you might be going through today, if you stay loyal to him, if you stay committed to his purposes, he's going to fight on your behalf. He's a good, good God and he's not going to let you down. He's going to be there. So let's have a look at the context of this passage, because it's actually talking about a king. And in verse 9, as we just read, it's actually a prophet that begins to speak to the king right towards the end of his life. But let's pick it up from the start so we can get the context. Because you see, so often we live our life through the now, not realizing that our life should be living through the fullness of our whole life. And therefore, loyalty is something that we need to look at over the context of a long period of time rather than a moment. In 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 1, and I want to read this to you. And so if you're sitting there, you can either look it up, 2 Chronicles 14:1, or you can just go with me. But it says this: when Abijah died, he was buried in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the king. There was peace in the land for 10 years. Asher did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the pagan shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles and idols. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord. Did you notice that? Here's a king come in. He knocks down all the idols and he says, seek the Lord. He tells his people, he makes it an edict, the God of their ancestors, and obey his laws and his commands. Asher also removed all the pagan shrines as well as the incense altars from every one of Judah's towns. So Asher's kingdom enjoyed a period of 10 years of peace. During these peaceful years, he was able to build up a fortified town throughout Judah. Note also that the people that he was serving were those of Judah. No one tried to make war against him at this time, for the Lord was to give him rest from his enemies. Asher told the people of Judah, let us build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, gates and bars. The land is ours because we sought the Lord. I want to remind you that we shouldn't give up on seeking the Lord. You know, we just had some prayer and fasting and we began to seek the Lord for what he would do and how he would release us from our circumstances. I want to tell you, he's a faithful God. Here we can see that they sought the Lord and God brought them peace and prosperity in their season. So, they sought the Lord and he has given us peace on every side. So they went ahead with these projects and brought them to completion. King Asher had an army of 300,000 warriors from the tribe of Judah, armed with large shields and spears. He also had an army of 280,000 warriors from the tribe of Benjamin, 580,000 in total. Once an Ethiopian named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of 1,000,000 men. 1,000,000 men! Nearly twice the size of what they had. They advanced to the town of Marish. So Asher deployed his armies to the battle in the valley north of Marish. Then Asher cried out to the Lord his God, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Notice where he turned first. He gets an enemy, comes against him, and he doesn't turn against the enemy. Sure, he fortifies, he sends his army out. But the first thing that he does is he cries out to the Lord for help. For we trust in you alone. It is your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asher and the army of Judah, and the enemy fled. See, I want you to understand, here in the early reign of Asher, first 10 years he has peace, but the very first thing that he does, the Bible says that he knocks over the altars. The very first thing that he does is he takes away the idols, the things that have been built up that people have started to worship rather than putting God first. And it's interesting in times of peace how we have what I like to call creep. We actually tend to move away from, we creep away from what God has. Distance becomes, and even in a season like we've recently had, if we're not careful, we can establish what some are calling a new norm. And I today want you to understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So our worship of him should be the same regardless of what our circumstances are. We shouldn't allow ourselves to get pulled away in this season, but we should press into God. So the first thing that I see here is that the thief the enemy who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief, he is very subtle. Very subtle. Our model today of idols and Asherah poles comes in the form of maybe material possession. We get consumed with houses and cars. And one of the things that I observe about the world in which we live right now is travel. But right now we can't do that and people are feeling confined. But you know, if we're not careful, travel can become an idol. I've got to go to this country. I've got to go and visit this. I've got to have my holiday. And I want to remind you today, right in this season where it's been pulled from us, I'm not saying we shouldn't travel, but I'm saying, you know, everything as unto God, what is His purpose and plan for your life? That should be what we're focused on. I love travel more than anybody else, and I'm not saying we won't do that, but I'm saying to you, maybe at this season where we haven't had it, maybe we need to say, God, what is it you want me to do with those times, with those travel, with that money that I spend? Material possession can become an idol. Relationships. It's amazing how we drift away from the purposes of God. In the secular world, we know what's happening, but even those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ, the acceptance of sleeping around, no commitment in relationships, sex, outside of marriage, you know, we actually start to accept some of these things because it just is what it is. It's subtle. And the enemy doesn't always come and just take you out. Sometimes he comes and he's subtle. And the reason that Asher decided that he needed to get rid of the idols and the Asherah poles is because he could see the people had been being pulled away from God as they'd focused on these other things. What about opinions and views? We live in a society right now where, you know, our rights have risen up and everybody's got a view. I mean, right in this season, how many views have we got and how many differing opinions have we got? And really, our lives is about giving over to Christ, dying to self, that He would be in control. So it's not my rights, but it's what is it that you want in and through me? What about news and Netflix and social media? There's so many views and shows pushing things that are far less than God's standard for our lives. But if we're not careful, we can start to subscribe to these things and drift into a place where we're away from God in small areas. But before long, we're not in the place that He ever designed for us. Even the worldview, the way we're educated, the hedonistic self-fulfilling view in which we now, most of us live in the Western world. I just want today to help you to understand that what was happening here is that Asher, the king, was saying, I'm coming in. I'm going to call out to God. I'm going to get the people to call out to God. And I'm going to raise a new standard. I'm going to pull down things that are not of God. I'm going to lift up things that are of God. You see, Asher, he held up a standard. I don't know if you realize, but a standard, you know, when we say our standards are dropping, that actually comes from the word in military times, even in biblical times, where they would hold up, it's like a pole and it had a square type flag, they'd hold it above the troops. And on it would be a symbolism like a national flag of that group of people. And what it would actually represent is their collective cause around their core beliefs. So when they lifted the flag and they're about to go to war, it was lifting a standard that would motivate and stir everybody to say, we can lift to that standard. We can fight for what is God's. We can stand and believe that the enemy can't come against us. In Isaiah 59 and verse 19, when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Church, we're not the tail, we're the head. We're not defeated. Lord, no, we've got victory in our hands and we need to lift up the standard. Oh, but isn't that legalistic? No. It's about understanding loyalty to our God. He's put those things there to protect us, not to harm us, not to hold us back, but to release us. But if we're not careful, we listen to all the idols of the modern age, all the things that have been set up around us to pull us away from what God's perfect plan is for our life. Gradually wearing you down, bringing separation between you and your God. Idols in the Old Testament draw a direct parallel in their meaning with poison. In fact, there's a word called panaceus, which is like where poison, you know, comes from, and it has a harmful effect in a gradual and a subtle way. So you see, we can have something next to us. We can watch something on TV. We can hang out with a certain person. We can get involved in something and go, it doesn't really affect me. And maybe in that moment it doesn't. Remember, loyalty's not defined over a moment, it's defined over a lifetime. And so we need to understand that it's not so much about the moment, but it's about the gradual, subtle effect. The thief, he's subtle, I want to tell you. He's out to kill and destroy you. And if he can't kill you up front, he's going to just go at you and place idols, things around you that pull you away from what God's standard would be for your life. Joshua, in Joshua 24, on his deathbed is there. And he makes this statement as he calls in his family and his servants. And he says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But you know the reason he did that? It sounds so noble and so good. Right at the end of his life, the reason he did that, because if you read in Joshua chapter 9, the Gibeonites had come against him. How did they do it? Not publicly. They crossed the Jordan River and the Lord said to them, take out all your enemies, because they have customs and values that are not ours. So as he went across the Jordan into the promised land, what they first did was killing off all the different tribes that lived there so that they could establish the land on the premise of what God had. But he had these people that came to him and they had worn shoes and worn bags, you know, water bags, and they looked like they'd come from a long way off. And they said, we've come from a long way off. The truth was they lived in the next town that they were about to destroy. And they'd set themselves up deceptively to say, we're not from this area, so you don't need to kill us. We'll serve you all the days, trying to keep themselves alive. They let them in, and after 3 days, Joshua was told, these people aren't who they say they are. And rather than doing what God had told him to do, which was you need to not compromise, and you need to inquire of me what you should do. He just said, okay, look, they can be the wood choppers in our villages for the rest of their days. That's what their mandate is. And he made a decision in that moment that went against the very command God had given him to take out all his enemies. So now he's on his deathbed and he's having to declare to his family and his closest friends, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because over the years of his life, his family had fallen away from God, had got involved in practices and different things. And in a season like we're in, we take our guard down. We can't do what we normally do. Our routines are gone. And it can be a great thing to raise up the standard for God, or it can be a season where subtly things come in and we actually move away from what God has for us. I love this in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Because we come to the place now where we look at Asher, who we've celebrated as this person that the eyes of the Lord came. But actually, if you read on in the verse, you realize that Asher made a major mistake. And in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 1, the 36th year of Asher's reign, King Baasha invades Judah. Asher responds by removing the silver, gold and treasures of the temple of the Lord. He sent message to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. Thanks for putting that up, but now I'm going to do it in an abridged version. Let there be a treaty between us. I am sending silver, gold, and treasure. Break your treaty with King Baasha so he will leave me alone. You see, what happens here is Asher, for 10 years, has lived a certain way. God fights on his behalf. He takes out the Ethiopian army, which is nearly twice his size. Now he's 25 more years with peace, and an enemy comes in and he forgets God. What's also happened is some idols have started to come back up. Asher's got further from God. An enemy comes in and he goes to, you know, a king that's nearby and says, come on, let's have an alignment. And now let's together take out this king that's trying to take my land. And he opens the treasury. But interestingly, in the treasury, he gives him things like silver and gold. But one of the things he also gave him to appease him, to keep him on side, was a throne that was in that place of treasure. The throne was the throne of Solomon. It was the throne that the kings throughout his history to that point had actually sat on to rule over Judah. And he gave it to them because of its enormous value. But here's the compromise. You see, the little things that got in, the little foxes, they got in, the little things got in, and then suddenly they're giving up their throne. We need to understand that a throne is actually represents an ideology or a core belief of people. The king, it represents generational what is happening. And I want us to remember that we are planet shakers here today. We need to understand that whether we've got services or we haven't got services, we got a God who's been going before us. We got a God who's been setting a standard. And we need to be careful that we don't allow the thief to suddenly come in. We need to be careful that we don't give up our throne, our belief, because circumstances have changed, but that we continue to lift up the name of our God, making sure that our standards are high. I just this week was talking to somebody who's planning a church, been asked to plan a church. And their whole life, they basically felt that's what they wanted to do in another country. Their pastor and their leader said, "We want to start a campus in another city. Would you be the people to do it?" And their first response was, "We just got our kids into this private school and we've been waiting for 2 years. We moved into the area and our kids are young and this is going to set them up. We've just bought a nice house to qualify for the school and now we've been asked at the same time that this has all gone through, the very same day that they actually got acceptance of the house that they bought, which means they qualified for the school, was the same day the pastor asked them, is that coincidence?" And as they're talking to us, they're asking the question, "What do you think?" And I'm laughing. "So what are you laughing at?" I said, "You told me your whole life you want to plant a church. But creepers come in, this sense of, now we've got comfort. Now we've got some luxuries. Now the kids are going to be in a school. It's not going to be the school that's going to help their kids to go to their purpose. It's going to be God himself." And as we're talking, they're like answering the question. They say, "We got to do it, don't we? We got to go ahead." Why? Because we've got to remember not to give up our throne in the moment of God's purpose and plan for our life. Asherah turned after 35 years of reign, always lifting up God, getting the people to lift up God, pulling down the idols, and suddenly he found himself in a place where the enemy subtly got him. And here it says, that we need to lift things up. So what's the throne to us? Well, in the Bible it says we need to get in the house of God. I don't know what announcements are going to be made today or anytime soon about the house of God, but I want you to understand at the moment we can't legally get into the house of God. But that doesn't mean that any of us go, "Well, you know what? I'm enjoying sitting on the couch, so that's what I'm going to do for the next 10 years. No, we believe, as it says in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing I ask of you, Lord, may I dwell in the house of the Lord." Psalm 84, verse 10 says, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of my enemy." Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Let us not neglect meeting together." Our core values, our core beliefs, the things that prove us loyal to our God. We have an offering today. Malachi 3 verse 10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." We don't know what's going to happen in the next few months, but the safest place that we can put our money right now is in the storehouse, is in what God has been faithful with over the years. Proverbs 3 verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and your first fruits." Tithes and offerings, first fruits, miracle offerings. This isn't a new concept to us. Let's not drift. Let's not move away from what God's standard, his best is for our life. Let's step into all he has for us. Psalm 91 verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. It's my God in whom I trust." Oh, we were singing about it today. He is my comforter. He is my fortress. He is my healer. He is my savior. He is my deliverer. And in him will I trust. Oh,
so good.
But Asher had it all. 10 years of peace because he had people seeking God. Then he was routed by the Ethiopian army. He had half the size of what they had. But God fought on his behalf. 25 years And then suddenly he has an army rise up. He doesn't consult God. He makes an alliance with a Syrian king, an ungodly alliance. What changed? The reason I wanted to point this out to you today, because I want to ask you, is there anything in your life that you've started to surrender to that's not of God? Is there anything in your life that you're saying, I don't know what to do anymore? Well, I haven't been in church for 6 months and I've started to live a different way, and you're suddenly starting to celebrate. Subtly, the thief is getting in. Maybe you're about to give up your throne, what you believe, what you stand for. But look at this, the prophet of God comes to Asher. Hanani, at the time Hanani the seer came to King Asher, 2 Chronicles 16 verse 7, New Living Translation, came to King Asher and told him, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and the Libyans and their vast army with all of their chariots and charioteers? This is, he's urging him, going, can't you remember? At that time, you relied on the Lord and he handed them over to you. Then we go back to what we started with. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed or are loyal to him. But it finishes in this verse, which most of us haven't heard or don't read. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. You see, we need to understand that he's my deliverer. He's the one that comes on my behalf. And we don't need to war ourselves. We need to put our trust, our confidence, our loyalty in him. And as we do that, he goes to war on our behalf. A million seems like a big hurdle when you've only got 500,000. Shutdown systems seem like a big hurdle. But with my God, nothing is impossible. My God can come through in your healing. He can come through in your business. He can come through in your circumstance. My God is a faithful God. And all his eyes are looking for, all his heart is wanting, is people who will stay loyal, who will stay committed. The Bible says Asher then got a sickness in his feet, and it troubled him to the day he died. And the place that he first consulted when he heard he had an issue with his feet, he went straight to a physician. Nothing wrong with doctors, but he went there first, even though he'd learned, go to God first with any of your trouble, with any of your circumstances, he's going to come through. He's my deliverer. And here he was. And he lived in war and in battle for the rest of his days. But the great news is this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, his son takes over from him, Jehoshaphat. Now notice that they were rulers over where? Judah. So when I was reading this, I felt like God said, Neil, this is like a word to Planet Shakers today, understanding that Judah means a tribe called praise. We are a breakthrough agent. We are a church of praise. We are a church believing that there's something on us that carries breakthrough when we step into all God has for us. This is the season of acceleration. But because he made a mistake, God's favor, God's blessing, God's deliverance drops off him? No. Because the next generation, who, by the way, fought to get back the throne. By the way, Jehoshaphat, the next generation, got the people. First thing he did was got them to take time to fast and seek God. By the way, the first thing that Jehoshaphat did was to actually pull down all the idols that had been established, the Asherah poles, the things that had actually caused the people to move away from God. And then the Bible says that he caused Jehoshaphat to have great wins at war, and peace once again came to the nation. Church, I want you to understand that we have a great God. I've got great news for you today, for those that seek him, for those that are prepared to say, I've got to put aside those things that I've allowed to be lifted up in my life. He comes straight back in like a flood to defend those who are loyal to him. So church, today, my question to you, are you going to fight alone? Are you going to live according to what you read in the magazine? You're going to rely on the material gain that you have, the possessions, and we've seen in this season how fickle it really is? Or are you going to position yourself like the kings before Asher? Asher himself, and then for a season drifted away. But my God is a redeemer. And if you'll just turn to him, seek him, he can be found. And he again fights on your behalf. He will fight on your behalf. Those who stay committed, loyal to him, he will fight on your behalf. So you don't be subtly drawn away or make a compromise when your enemy comes. Be careful to continually pull down any idols and turn to the Lord and live in the acceleration that has been declared over you. I believe God is setting us up for great days. I believe in the midst of all that's going on, the problem, there's great possibilities. But we don't look to the system. We don't look to a government. We look to a God who's always had it under control and always will have it under control. Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?